I appreciate so much the invitation to speak today. Been looking forward to that. It's been quite a long time, several years, I believe, since I have had the privilege of speaking here. And the things that we're going to talk about this morning, I've got a lot of material, and I'm going to crowd it as fast as I can. So we may go at a very fast pace in regards to our lesson this morning. Actually, we're going to talk about the subject of angels. And it's not a subject that we hear much about today. And yet, the Bible has a lot to say about angels. And that's why I said I have a lot of information and material to present. And we're going to have to go quickly in doing so. The word angel is from the Greek word angelos, and it's defined as a messenger sent, whether by God or by man or by Satan, most frequently of the order of created beings superior to man, belonging to heaven, and engaged in his service, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary. Now, of course, there are angels of God, but there are also angels of the devil. The devil has his angels as well. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus said, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." I think I've got this a little bit too close. Give me just a moment. I can hear an echo. Of course, God's angels are so numerous that they simply cannot be counted. In Revelation 5 and verse 11, he says, "Behold, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." In Hebrews 12 and verse 22, it just simply says that there is an innumerable company of angels. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about angels, but what does it say? We're going to look at some things, and we won't be able, of course, to talk about everything that the Bible talks about. Some things in regards to angels have not been revealed. Some things we just don't know. We're curious about. We'd like to know a lot more than what the Bible actually says. But nevertheless, the Bible reveals a great many things. And there are some of the things that the Bible reveals that are difficult to understand. You know, even when we read what the Bible says, sometimes it leaves questions in our minds, and we just would like to know more. We just simply have to accept by faith whatever the Bible teaches. I think everybody realizes that there are so many strange ideas about angels, a lot of misconceptions and curiosities and superstitions even about angels. But we need to learn what the Bible says about angels, and there are three areas that we want to talk about it. We're going to talk about the origin of angels, about the nature of angels, and then about the role of angels as is recorded in the Scriptures. First of all, in regards to the origin of angels, they are created beings. In Colossians 1:16 and 17, he said, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. By him all things consist." So obviously that includes the angels. They are created beings. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6, It says, Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things therein, the seas and all that is therein, and Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth Thee. The host of heaven refers to the angels. And so he says that God has created the heavens with all their hosts. All of the angels have been created by God. And when they were created, we just don't know. We do know that they existed at the time when man was created. At the very beginning of the Bible, we read about them already being in existence. The Bible also tells us that they shouted for joy whenever God created the earth in Job 38 and verses 4 through 7. And the Bible also tells us that they were created to be God's special service. And no basis for the idea that angels are spirits of departed saints. That's kind of an idea that a lot of people have had through the years, that whenever a saint, a Christian dies, that they become an angel. But there is absolutely no basis for that in the scriptures. But let's talk about the nature of angels. In the first place, they're real beings. We sometimes get the idea that angels are kind of imaginary beings, but the Bible speaks of them as real beings. Now, a group of Jews called the Sadducees did not believe in angels or spirits. They denied them. But yet, we read about angels visiting various persons in the New Testament, even Christ and others, who were visited by angels. So they are real beings, and they are a higher order of beings than man is, and more powerful than man is. In Hebrews 2, 6, and 7, he asked the question, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. So the angels are a higher order of beings. 2 Peter 2 and verse 11 says, Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. So they are greater in power and in might than man is, a higher order of beings. Not only are they real beings, but they are spiritual beings as well. Hebrews 1:14 says, Are they not all ministering spirits? And as ministering spirits, they are not flesh and blood beings. For Jesus once said in Luke 24, verse 39, A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So they are real beings. They are spiritual beings, but they are not flesh and blood beings. And as spirit beings, they are immortal beings. And that's what the Bible says in Luke 20, 35 and 36. He says, But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain this world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. That is, equal unto the angels in the sense that, you know, once we are resurrected from the dead, we become immortal and we will not die again. So that indicates the angels do not die. They are immortal. And the Bible also points out to us that angels can assume different forms. Sometimes they may come in human form. There are instances in the Bible where they did so, and this passage says that they, at this particular point, there was the appearance, they came in the appearance of a man. There are several times when they came in that way. In fact, when angels visited Abraham, he didn't know they were angels because they were in the appearance of men. And sometimes angels assumed a glorious form. They're described as having shining garments, as when the angels that met the women at the tomb, they were depicted as being in shining garments. And sometimes angels are pictured as being with wings, like the cherubim, the seraphim. The Bible says they stretched out their wings. And so, you know, a certain class of angels may have wings, or it may be that they just have wings at certain times. We don't know. But they are pictured in that way nonetheless. And angels can either be visible or invisible. You remember that there was an occasion when an angel appeared to Balaam, and he couldn't see the angel, but the animal, the donkey that he was riding, could see him. So the angel was invisible on that occasion for a special reason. So they have the ability to be either visible or invisible. Angels can also do wondrous things. We have an example of that in Judges chapter 13, verses 19 and 20, when an angel appeared unto Manoah and his wife, announcing that she would bear a son. And of course, it was Samson that he was speaking of here. And on that occasion, Manoah spoke to the angel, said, "So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. When the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame." So quite a wondrous sight here, to see the angel as he gets into the flame and just disappears. Wondrous things. Some angels are called by name. Michael, for example, Gabriel. And then others are not named. On this same occasion that we mentioned here in Judges chapter 13, Manoah, out of curiosity, he said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor?" And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?" So some angels are not named, and others are named. Another thing about angels, their nature, is the fact that there are no marriages among them. Matthew 22 and verse 30 says, "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." No marriages among the angels. But there are ranks among the angels. Some are greater than others. In Daniel 10 and verse 13, speaks about Michael, one of the chief princes. That implies that he was elevated above some of the others. And he's also referred to as the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And then in Jude, verse 9, he's referred to as an archangel. So ranks among the angels, some higher in rank than others. Angels are under law. They are under God's law. Psalms 103 in verses 20 and 21. He said, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, and that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure." Angels, at least faithful angels, are obedient to the commandments of the Lord. They are under law. And they therefore are subject to punishment. And we know that that happened on occasion because some of them committed sin. They can sin, and some of them did. 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, he says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell." And then in Jude, verse 6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness." Since angels are under law, they can violate law. And when they violate law, they're guilty of sin, and there seems to be no redemption for the angels who sin. The angels who sinned in this case were cast down to hell. Now, I would imagine that these are the ones who become the angels of the devil. Now, the Bible does not specifically tell us that, but the implication is that those angels that sin are the same as the devil's angels and the demons that we read about that belong to the devil as well. And the fact that that these angels are cast down to hell and reserved in chains under darkness indicates that there just is no redemption for these angels, maybe because of their close proximity to God himself. And it also implies, even though the Bible does not specifically talk about Satan as being an angel, but the implication is that Satan was created by God just like all of the angels were created by God. The implication is, though the Bible does not specifically say it, that the devil was rebellious and led a rebellion from among the angels. That's a theory. That's something that a lot of people believe, and there may be some truth to that in view of the fact that God does not create evil. So he created the devil because God creates everything, and the devil became evil, as some of the angels did. And so it seems to imply that the devil and his angels were among those that were created by God in the beginning that later became rebellious. It may be, and I say that, it may be because we can't prove it by the Bible. It may be, as some think, that the devil was lifted up with pride, and that in his pride, he tried to take over the place of God and was cast down because of that. I don't know if that's so or not. That's just an opinion that is held. There are some passages in the Bible, though they refer primarily to certain kings, a Babylonian king or another king, may have a secondary reference. I don't know. But at any rate, we know that the angels that sinned are cast down, and along with Satan. Angels, of course, are to worship God and to worship Christ. In Hebrews 1 and 6, it says, "When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." So angels are to worship God, but they were not to be worshiped. They were to refuse worship, and they did. In Revelation 22 and verse 9, when John fell down and was going to worship the angel said, "See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. Worship God." Angels are not subject of worship. Now, angels, even though they are great, they do not possess the attributes of God. Angels are powerful, but they are not all powerful. They are wise, but they are not omniscient. That is, they are not all wise like God is. 1 Peter 1 and 12 speaks about the Old Testament prophets and what they had prophesied. It said, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves," you see, they didn't understand everything that they were prophesying. They even wondered about it. "And it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." The angels didn't understand it either. These prophets that spoke about the coming Messiah and about the great wonderful things that we now can understand and enjoy, they just did not know. They didn't understand. And even the angels did not know. And they wanted to know. They desired to look into it, but they just were not able, because they're not omniscient. They don't have all knowledge. Neither are they omnipresent. Now, they had to be sent to different places to perform their duties. You know, God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. But not so with the angels. In Daniel 10 and verse 11, just as one illustration of this fact, it said, he, and that was the angel that visited Daniel, said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So this angel was sent from God to Daniel. He was not omnipresent. He had to be sent. And there are other instances in the Bible where that's the case, where God sent angels different places to perform different duties. Also, angels are not omnipotent. That is, they're not all powerful. They're limited by God. They are given power to perform certain tasks, but they are not all powerful. Revelation 16 in verse 1 says, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. So these angels had a task that God had sent them to do. They were not omnipotent. They did not possess this power within themselves, but only what power God had given unto them. So now let's turn our attention to the role of angels. What is their purpose? What is their function? Well, we know one thing. They were used to guard the way of the tree of life after Adam and Eve had committed sin in the Garden of Eden, and they were cast out of the garden. We're told that the Lord drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So they were guardians of the Garden of Eden. Could not allow man to go back into it. We know that they were used to give the old law, to reveal it to Moses. The Bible plainly tells us that. Acts 7, verse 53 says that the Jews received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. So the angels had something to do with giving the law of Moses. And then again in Hebrews 2 and in verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and he's talking about the old law there, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. So the angels were involved in revealing the Old Testament to Moses and through Moses, and probably were involved in even helping Moses as the tabernacle was built, showing him how it was to be done and all of that. The angels were used in that capacity. Angels were often the medium of revelation to the prophets, both in Old Testament and in New Testament times. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So here an angel, and not only on this, you know, just one occasion, but on several occasions in the book of Revelation, we find the angels revealing certain things unto John, being used in that way. Angels also were used to make great announcements. For example, the birth of John the Baptist was announced by Gabriel there in Luke 1, verse 19. And not only the birth of of John was announced, but also the birth of Christ by the same angel was announced. And we read that in Matthew 1:20 and 21 and Luke 1:26. And we know that the resurrection and ascension of Christ was something that was announced by angels. Whenever the women went to the tomb after the death of Jesus, they went to the tomb, and when they got there, Jesus had already raised from the dead, but there were angels there, and the angels told these women, "He's not here, he has risen from the dead." They have announced the resurrection of Christ. Then over in the first chapter of Acts, after Jesus was raised from the dead and had spent 40 days with his disciples, he ascended to heaven. And as he disappeared in the clouds of heaven, an angel spoke to the apostles and he said, "Why stand ye gazing here steadfastly into the heavens? The same Jesus that came, that disappeared will come again in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." So they announced, you know, the coming of Jesus Christ in time to come. And again, the second coming is announced according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And in verse 16, we're told that that the time when the Lord comes again, that there will be the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel, who will thus announce his coming. Angels also have been used to influence governments. In Daniel chapter 10, we find an angel as the angel appeared to the Persian king and tried to convince the Persian king to allow the Israelites to return from their captivity. And then angels are used to carry out God's judgments. When God sends them for that purpose, they can carry out his judgments. And that happened a number of times. We know that angels were sent to carry out a judgment upon the men of Sodom in Genesis 19 and verse 11. These angels went into Sodom, and you remember the story of what happened there. And when they had rushed Lot and his wife out, then they rained fire and brimstone upon the people of Sodom and destroyed them. And then the angels were used to bring judgment upon the Jews in David's time. David committed sin by numbering the people, and God was displeased with David, and he sent a pestilence. He sent angels to bring a pestilence upon the people of Judah. And so the angels were used in that instance. And we know that an angel was used to bring judgment upon the Assyrians when they threatened to destroy Jerusalem. You know, after they had conquered Samaria, the northern kingdom of Israel, they came down and threatened Jerusalem. And Hezekiah, being the king, prayed about that. And God answered his prayer by sending an angel. Whenever the Assyrians had encamped around Jerusalem, great numbers of them, one night an angel came through the camp of the Assyrians and silently slew 185,000 of them. So the next day, Sennacherib, the leader, didn't have any army, and he had to go back home. Angels were used in judgments. Angels were used, or at least an angel was used, in bringing judgment upon Egypt, the destroying angel that caused the firstborn of man and beast to be killed in Egypt. We know that an angel was used to bring judgment upon King Herod. Whenever Herod made a great oration to the people there in Acts chapter 12, verse 23, indicates that he wouldn't give God the praise. He took the praise to himself. And because of that, God sent an angel and he was killed, eaten with worms, the Bible says. Also, angels will be used in the final judgment. Matthew 13, and in verse 41, we read, and it says, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels; they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire." So angels will be used in the final judgment. Angels also minister to saints. Who are saints? They're Christians. They're children of God. And angels have been used through the centuries to minister to God's people. In Hebrews 1:14, he asks the question, "Are they not all ministering spirit, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" And of course, the answer to that is yes. Certainly he has. Abraham's servant was sent by Abraham to Haran to find a wife for Isaac. And the Bible tells us that Abraham assured his servant that God would help him by sending an angel. He said, "He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." So an angel helped Abraham's servant. We know that an angel was sent to guide the children of Israel in the wilderness. In Exodus 23 and verse 20, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." We know that God sent an angel to feed Elijah, the prophet, the great prophet, to keep him alive. 1 Kings 19:5-6. "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head." So he was helped by an angel. An angel protected Daniel in the lion's den and stopped the mouths of the lions. And angels ministered to Jesus on different occasions. When he was tempted in the wilderness, it says that angels came and ministered to him. And then when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, angels came and comforted him then. Also, an angel delivered Peter from prison. Over in Acts chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, we're told that God sent an angel, and he came in and released Peter, brought him out of the prison, and none of the guards knew anything about it. God used his angel to deliver him. Angels helped Paul at different times during his ministry as well. While he was on this journey to Rome and being carried there as a prisoner, an angel appeared to him and strengthened him, encouraged him on that occasion. There were other times as well. Angels are said to usher departed saints to paradise. In Luke 16 and verse 22 says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Isn't it a comforting thought to know that God uses his angels in that way? And it may imply to us that when we die, that God will send his angel to usher our spirits into the other world. What a comfort it is. Angels are constantly watching us, we're told. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9, Paul said, "For I thank that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men." He said, the angels are looking at us, are watching us. And I think we can say the angels are watching you and me. Angels are concerned about our salvation and rejoice when we repent. In Luke 15 and verse 10, Jesus said, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." So angels are watching you and watching me. They are concerned about our welfare. They are concerned about our salvation, and we may not be able to see them with our physical eye, but we must see them with the eye of faith. Angels also assist God in answering prayers. Daniel 10, verse 12, here Daniel had been fervently praying to God in regards to the Israelites in bondage, wanted them to be released. And an angel appeared to Daniel and said, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Angels are used by God to answer prayers, to carry out his providence. You know, that's such a wonderful thought. No doubt, angels serve us, perhaps, in other ways which we cannot know. And I think that it is even possible and maybe even probable that angels are all around us now, though we can't see them, and that they continue to minister to us in various ways. I see no reason why that is not so. Even though we can't see them, the angels are out there and they are working for our benefit. How thankful we should be for God's angels and for what they do on our behalf. Do you extend an invitation at this hour? Okay. In view of what we've said, the angels are concerned about the salvation of every person. Not just the salvation of those who are Christians. But angels want everybody to be saved, just like God wants everybody to be saved. And the Lord has provided the means of salvation for every person. And he's provided the kind of help that Christians need from time to time. Sometimes Christians, you know, get to a point where we just need some support from other people. We need to be strengthened and encouraged by others. Or we may just need to confess our sins and ask the forgiveness from the brethren and from God. Occasions like this, it certainly provides opportunity for those of you who may not be Christians or who may be unfaithful to the Lord as Christians to do something about that. And so this song that we'll sing is an encouragement to anyone here, if you're subject to the invitation, to come and to do just what that needs to be done. Shall we stand together while we sing?